This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. Plenty on the divisional round as more betting markets are popping up on an hourly/daily basis, the way it seems. We'll get into tonight's college basketball card. Paul Charchin on the program, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer in 30 minutes, his best bets for the weekend. Greg Peterson on college hoops, Steve Wiss soccer a little bit later on, and Paulie, it's a Thursday, so that means another betting scandal somewhere in the sports betting world, and this time it's college basketball, and the details continue to come out, but I'll just start with this. I mean, how the hell is somebody getting down $450,000 or more on a Towson game? They played UNC A&T.
Yep. We talked about this story when it broke a while back. It's our buddy Shane Hennon, who was arrested here at the airport, and they asked him where he's going. He was getting a dental work done in Columbia. Absolutely. But this is the money he was betting on these lower conference league games and first half stuff. How it didn't sound the alarm, and how are you getting down this much money? $424,000 on Kent State first half against Buffalo?
Yeah, again, think about what you just said and what books in their right minds are going to take that action. As we speculated, right, when stories like this originally came out, we're like, well, is this a VIP/whale player at a national legal book that just burns money? Like, and they're like, okay, yeah, you can, we'll let you bet whatever you want, but they're going to, like, who's getting the biggest offshore books in the world are not taking this stuff?
I'd never heard of this before with this. Yeah. This is like NFL playoff stuff with limits.
Mm-hmm.
$275,000 on South Alabama to cover the first half against Southern Miss, another $256,000 bet on a first half. $168,000 on a Chinese basketball game. Guangdong Southern Tigers. And as Hennon,
it started off with Chinese basketball.
Yeah, as Hennon tweeted or texted a co-conspirator, nothing guaranteed in this world but death, taxes, and Chinese basketball.
Now that's a hell of a line.
And they had several players players listed. And he had Cottle. This is great timing with Greg Peterson coming on. The guy in his hip pocket he had was Cottle, the Conference USA preseason player of the year for Kennesaw. He's averaging 20 a game and had 21 last night.
Well, and now this news now coming out today, he has been suspended indefinitely. Another player that was brought up, looks like he's going to get it as well. But that's absolutely nuts for these games. And we're talking about first half bets as well to get down on. And I mean, you come to the counter here at Circa where they're taking $1 million bets on the NFL right now. You say, hey, can I get down? What would a laughable number be on a Towson game or a South Alabama game or one of these first halves? They'd say, maybe I'll give you 10 dimes. I know you. I know who you are. Yeah, we'll take whatever. But $275,000, $450,000, $424,000 in the first half of the Kent State Buffalo game. If you're doing this, by the way, as a bettor, all you're doing is putting out red flags, right? Yeah. If you want that much money down on some of these teams we just talked about, automatically it's going to be like, okay, sirens are going to go off right now. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm. No, we had to have information. Yeah, I'd like to see what his percentage was too. Recruited players to participate in the scheme and offered bribes ranging from $10,000 to $30,000 to intentionally underperform. They then placed and won millions of dollars on the fixed games.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had guys all over with the schools and the Chinese basketball. And I also had a guy involved there who used to play in the NBA years ago, too.
And then he started to recruit some of his teammates.
Yeah, he got his teammates in on it, too. Where it's like, hey, it doesn't sound that bad. Just don't play that well, but make it look good.
And they were also going after players who were not getting NIL deals. So that can be a scary world as well. That's, I mean, smart from them, I guess, to do that and think of that idea. But again, man, I mean, how greedy do you have to be? I mean, you could have milked this thing for a little while and just called it quits at the end of a couple of years and said, okay, now we move on and find something else.
Yeah,
but I mean, my God.
This shouldn't have happened. North Carolina A&T, Northwestern State, Bob Morris, Nichols State, Kennesaw State, Coppin State, Alabama State. These are the games you're getting down six figures?
Sure.
Come on.
I don't care if this better or betters, this group, if they've burned like millions of dollars betting the NFL over the last 3 or 4 years. This mm-hmm. automatically is a tripwire if you're booking these games. You got to say absolutely not. We need more information on this. We don't care that you're a losing bettor and you're one of the reasons why we're still in business, because you have no idea what you're doing. It's bad across the board. I've said this before. It's almost like if this is the case, again, kind of speculating on that, but you're almost enabling some of these people like that to go out there and say, we are willing to take whatever you want to get down on any sport. So have at it. It's a free for all. It's a wild, wild west.
Yeah.
And if you're able to get other, you know, people involved in this and create a ring, so be it. Dumb.
Well, David Perdom put it in perspective. We've had over 12,000 Division I games the last 2 years, and 29 here were affected. 20 of the 26 defendants played in the last 2 years, according to the indictment. And 4 of the players charged are playing in the past week for their current teams. As you mentioned, they were suspended then, and the kid for Kennesaw State being so good and what he did. But this is nuts how much money he was betting and how much he was getting down for. Getting down and on all these games and first halves. That's the other thing. Yeah. First halves. $500,000 on a Townsend game against North Carolina A&T.
Remember, there was a college game earlier this year. We talked about it on the air briefly, where the game number was 16 and the first half was bet down to like 4.5. And one of the Twitter accounts, I think, either it was a fan of the team or somebody covering the team, tweeted out, that's the worst first half of basketball I've ever seen them play.
That's right.
They were on the take.
Yeah.
They were one of the schools listed. You can go out there and find the schools for yourself because it's public knowledge now of all these players and teams that were involved with the gambling ring.
Good call. Good memory. That was absolutely that.
You think that's a red flag?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, the game is 16.5, but the first half now, you won't stop betting it. It's down to 4.5 in the game.
Yep.
Huh, what's going on?
It's a Robert Walker line, too, about, you know, the guys come to the window and they don't care what the number is. When you get two and a half points or better of it, if you walk across the street or go to whatever, pull out your phone and go to a different book and they don't care.
Now, I think I brought this up to you on the air before where, again, the person who is, what's his name, Shane Hennon?
Yes.
Okay. So he was busted at the airport. He's going to go to Columbia to get his dental work done. I actually know people who have done that before. So maybe he's telling the truth on that. Not to Colombia, but they have traveled to the Philippines, other spots, to save a lot of money and get the dental work done.
All right. Yeah, $10,000 cash on him, I believe. Okay.
All right.
I'm sure it checks out.
Well, I'm not saying that it does. Yeah. I'm just telling you that I know people.
It's like the Seinfeld episode. This guy's a snowblower. Got to go into South America with all our money.
Uh-huh.
He's got the sniffles. You got a cold, fella? No.
All right. On to the NFL. It's official. Became in the wee hours, John Harbaugh has taken the job with the New York Giants. He turned into a big favorite in prediction markets, and some of the books that actually posted the stuff and let it up. He was as high as like $5 or at like Kelce and beyond, like 70 plus percent after the Stefanski stuff. Looked like he was going to go somewhere else. And now he's their guy. Good move by them. Absolutely going to win the press conference. The media there is going to love it. And he's like the right guy for the culture in that building as well. And I think the Giants, I think it's a really good job. Now, just be patient. He's 63 years old. But this team could be players as soon as next year. But if they're not, don't say it was a disastrous hire. Give this team a little bit of time because they have the young guys, I think, that could be winners here. Sooner than later, in my opinion. But if it's not happening as soon as next year, then wait to happen. You know, give them the guy. I don't know how much longer he's going to have left as a 63-year coach. Maybe he wants to go until he's 75 years old. But overall, I think it's both good for both sides.
Yeah. 7 teams reached out in the first 45 minutes after the news came down.
Yeah.
So he was a hot commodity. But this has just been a disaster for the organization going back. The only fluke was when they made the playoffs with Danny Dimes and had that easy record. Joke of a schedule. Easy schedule. But winning percentage, 31st. Points per game, 30th. This is the last 5 years. Yards per game, 29th. Opposing yards per game, 30th. Fix the defense. You have stars and players on offense, and maybe you can make a playoff run. But remember, every year we're talking about slow starts with this team, too.
Yeah, we are.
They're always seemingly 1-6 every single year, and 7-27 the last 2 years.
hire the right offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Right, because they got,
that's right.
They're gonna, if they stay healthy, they have tons of talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
And they got a star left tackle. I think they have a really good quarterback. I know if Scadabo stays healthy, he's the real deal, and so is Neighbors. And
yeah. Are you surprised that that he went this route though? With the Atlanta job opening and some other jobs? Easier division?
No, because
team that should have had a winning record.
I think maybe the appeal here was the fact that he could actually be the, again, Kingfish like in New York.
Okay.
Because if he turns it into a winner, he's going to turn into a legend immediately. So I'm not really that surprised overall. Other news, Sean McDermott came out and said today, doesn't know if Ty Johnson's going to be able to go or not, still waiting on that, but Jordan Poyer and Maxwell Hairston in the secondary, both guys are out for Buffalo. That is confirmed.
Yeah. Oliver limited. We'll see if Johnson can go, what that means for Ray Davis, if he can get touches. He hasn't fumbled, though. That was a problem last week. So that's the news there. Warner was at practice.
He was not wearing a helmet, though.
No, he didn't do much. Nope.
And Charles Cross, offensive lineman, both full participants. Elijah Arroyo as well. That offensive line could use as much help as possible. It would obviously never hurt, and Charles Cross is really good. So that would be a big deal. However, Reek Woolen limited, as was DeMarcus Lawrence. Two really good defensive players.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian, friend of the show, pops on a weekly basis. We'll talk divisional round with him. He's going to make the case for a player to score two touchdowns this weekend. You got to love it. Okay, so as I said before the break, Paulie, you sent me a text last night, a couple of screen grabs, and you actually took the time to circle some of the bets that you liked. You're excited about this.
Well, this is like the Super Bowl, where so many of these books, great job, FanDuel, also Will Hill. I mean, there's over 200 different ways to bet every playoff game now. And with these player specials and game specials, FanDuel already has the Triple Crown up, and FanDuel also has a ton of props from 500 to 1 down to minus 250. Will every team score a touchdown? And your big boys are like two rushing touchdowns every game, every team, three passing touchdowns, four touchdowns, all that jazz. But it could be the coldest game of Stafford's career. You figure both teams are going to come out and try to establish the run. Johnson already said he was disappointed with the rushing attack last week. You figure you can lean on Swift, and he'll be a big part of the offense as well. But some of his creative props. Swift to have 10 rushing yards in each quarter is 5-1. Swift to have 5 yards in each quarter is plus 160. And if you want to combo him with Williams, 25 yards rushing each half is plus 650. And then you can do Williams the same, 5, 20, 25. But the one thing that would concern me there is he goes to Corum on the second drive sometimes. But Swift, 5 yards in each quarter, plus 160, and 25 yards each half, plus 180, and then 10 yards each quarter. 10 yards each quarter, 5-1. That's it. This is great stuff. Oh, they offered this as well. With all these guys with the combo, and you figure in what could be a horrible game as far as weather, that you want to come out early on and run the ball.
Maybe we should be looking at betting these players with their attempts over as well.
That's not bad.
Where it's going to be just a better game plan overall for both teams to run the football. And I'll expand on that, Paulie. When you look at the two rushing defenses we're talking about here and the Bears and the Rams, okay, well, adjusted line yard rankings in the entire regular season, the Bears were 29th overall on defense. The Rams are number one on offense. They have the second lowest stuffed rate on offense. They're also the second best team with the rushing attack in the second level. All right, so that's obviously elite running stats that we're talking about here against a really bad defense with the adjusted line yards. The Rams are 20th overall in adjusted line yards on defense. Well, flip it with the Bears on offense. They are the third best overall adjusted line yards on offense, second highest power success rate, fourth lowest stuffed rate, and number one overall in the entire league in the second level. I just think that this could be, it should be back and forth between Swift. It's not going to turn into this, I don't think, because both coaches can be a little too pass happy, including McVay, but it should almost be a dueling running back battle here between Swift and Williams in this game.
Yeah.
They should, both players, and then if you want to go Manungai as well a little bit, and Corum should find success pretty much the entire game. Now, will weather impede their chances? We'll wait and see, I guess, on that.
Well, even if you think he's going to, they'll maybe switch it up and throw a lot, and Stafford has four straight playoff games of 300 yards passing. Another one that stuck out, and he is the favorite, FanDuel put this up, most yards for a tight end, and Loveland did it last week in a huge game. He's plus 210. Loveland and Puka to have 5 yards in each quarter is 9-1. 10 yards each quarter is 30-1.
The Rams are the third best defensive team DVOA against the position. They allow 46.6 yards per game. Although he is turning into Williams' favorite target pretty much.
Do you think one catch is too aggressive? One catch a quarter for this guy, and he's a huge part of the offense.
Yes, I do. I would not. Yeah. I don't like that.
No? Okay.
Because if it's going to be a running game, then if they, the other team could go on a long drive, you get the ball back, could be a three and out, or target somebody else, you know.
We also got a total in, almost in the 50s, you know, 49 too. So
right.
you expect some fireworks in this game. And if you want to switch it up and then think they'll throw, 550 yards passing combined is plus 170, 600 yards is plus 330, and all that stuff cashed last week with Love and Williams in a crazy game. And you got the Puka stuff too, 5 yards each quarter and 10 yards each quarter and multiple catches too if you want to do that. Like, if you really want to get nuts, 3 catches each quarter is 70-1, which I don't like, but that's the creativity that these books have, as they should for the divisional round. Excellent job.
All right, I'll expand on defenses against tight ends in the next hour, but I will give you a couple of nuggets right now. In the playoffs, the worst team at defending the position is Denver. They ranked 18th overall DVOA in the regular season. Also, they allowed 61 yards per game to tight ends and 6 touchdowns. And with the limited receivers that Josh Allen's going to have to throw to, and he likes to get the tight ends involved as well. Is this going to be a Knox game or a Kincaid game, or maybe a little bit of both? I think the tight ends for the Bills will be shining in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks, the second worst team against tight ends. 16th overall DVOA. They allowed 64 yards per game to tight ends and 6 touchdowns overall. No Kittle, but Hilo Tongas. You like McCaffrey. I think both those guys can eat in this game in the air.
All right. See what Chart says coming up. I think I wouldn't want Tongas. I would want McCaffrey. And from a Seattle standpoint, let's see if they dominate on the ground again, too. And when you go back and look, when a team has had this big of a rest advantage, 7-0 since 1984, 14 days off for Seattle compared to 6 for the Niners.
And that's huge.
And they've won 10 in a row at home in the playoffs when fans are in the stadium, too. How about this? It's the first time ever you have a team that met week one, the last game, and then in the playoffs as well. Tip of the cap to Evan Abrams. That's bizarre.
Yeah, let me give you some divisional round specials at DraftKings as well. Stop me when you hear one that you might like. Well, let me ask you this first. Do you think the Woody Marks thing from Monday night is going to continue against New England?
Yes, I do.
That's what I thought. Okay. So Marks, Kyren Williams, and Zach Charbonnet to combine for 200-plus rushing yards is plus 180.
I saw that. That stuck out immediately.
It did. Okay.
Yes. FanDuel has both one seeds to meet in the Super Bowl, by the way, plus 650. That's up there as well.
Okay.
Okay. How about the combos? Okay.
Tongas, Barner, and Hunter Henry to combine for 150 receiving yards is plus 220.
I want more.
Guy has to average about,
Barner might have 2 catches.
Each guy has to, they have to average 50 yards per game.
Yeah.
So I don't,
I like Henry. I don't like the other two guys that have big games.
How about Swift, Ramondre Stevenson, and Christian McCaffrey to combine for 200-plus rushing yards, plus 275? I don't know how many yards you're going to get from CMC against Seattle's defense.
Uh-huh.
JSN, Cortland Sutton, Puka Nacua, Nacua to combine for 300-plus receiving yards, plus 285. Well, JSN and Nacua can go for 250 combined on their own.
That's right.
I don't hate that one.
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey, Devontae Adams, and Pat Bryant to combine for 200-plus receiving yards, plus 285. You're high on McCaffrey to go over, what, 51.5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Caleb Williams to combine for 800-plus passing yards. 3-1.
Oh.
I would need more than that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, to your point, I mean, they have a plethora. You can just keep going on and on and on. Those are the player. I didn't even get to half of them. But those are some of the player specials. They have the team specials. They have like milestone props that you can get into. A lot of them feel like they're a little unrealistic, and the prices on them are a little bit too short. Like for this one, the Bears, Seahawks, and 49ers to combine for 10-plus touchdowns, plus 175? I would... No way. See, it's all about positive betting. What about betting in a negative way? What about like the Seahawks, the 49ers, and the Texans to combine for fewer than 5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
I want to go the opposite way.
They got the rushing up again. Remember, that was so popular last week. Every team to have a rushing touchdown. It's 45-1 at FanDuel. And that was very popular last week. And we bet that, 125-1.
So now you need 8 teams compared to 12 from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Did you make keep a tally of how many teams got there last week? It died with the Packers right away on Saturday.
I don't think Carolina got in. I thought every Bryce Young touchdown was passing. I could be wrong.
No, I think it was still alive after that game.
Was it? Okay.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong on that.
But then it certainly blew up with what happened Sunday night. And so they go everything from 500-1 down to minus 250, as I mentioned. I like this one. A point to be scored in each quarter of all four games, plus 130. You got to fade the scoreless quarter.
Okay.
And then they got field goals, multiple touchdowns, all that other business. And then every team to score a touchdown is minus 250 this weekend. So I applaud them. That's good. It's up early.
Do you think that happens?
Other stuff. I think it will, but I think the price, that price is too high, though. I think Houston will find the end zone.
But it might be defensively.
That could happen, too, but I think 250 is too high for that. I think that could be plus money.
Are the Niners going to score a touchdown? They didn't 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that kind of flips a little bit in this game, but I don't know, that Seahawks defense, man. Up next, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin on the program. Oh, he's going to give out a bet. He's got, well, let's see here, 4 or 5 guys that he likes this weekend on the Saturday games, including a player to score 2 touchdowns. Find out who it is next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Well, this is something definitely to monitor. As moments ago, the Seahawks listed quarterback Sam Darnold as questionable. Yeah, it's an oblique injury. Their OC, Clint Kubiak, declined to talk about it, but did say that Drew Lock got reps today with the first team. So there is that. Oblique injury, Sam Darnold is questionable. Seahawks still laying 7 against the 49ers. We head out here to the Progressive Guest Line. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin joins the program now. You did not have any Seahawks bets that we were going to talk about here, but your gut reaction to this news, Charch?
Don't love it. I'll be honest. This is totally out of the blue. This presumably was an injury that happened in practice. So I'd like to believe that it's not a contact injury. Not going to be, I'd like to believe it's not going to be that serious, but you know, don't love the notion that, you know, Drew Lock getting first team reps today in practice. I'm not going to panic yet, but I'd hesitate before I do any wagering that involves the Seattle offense requiring Sam Darnold to be there. That's for sure. I'd wait and see that how this thing plays itself out. But yeah, this is completely out of the blue.
Okay. Let's stick with that game here because you do have a couple of bets that you like. One, Christian McCaffrey and the Seahawks defense. They're a monster, very difficult to run on, and you're betting accordingly.
Yeah. Yep. CMC. The number is 56.5 rushing yards. We are taking the under on this. Seahawks are a great run defense, And Christian McCaffrey has struggled on the ground all year. And you, there's a lot of brand equity in Christian McCaffrey's name. Mm-hmm. But you need to look at the real life metrics here of who he is at this stage of his career as a runner, not as a receiver, as a runner. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer. Among 34 NFL runners with at least 150 carries this year. So effectively starting running backs in the league. Here's where Christian McCaffrey ranks in some key metrics. 29th in yards per carry, 28th in yards after contact, 30th in PFF's elusiveness ranking, 31st in broken tackle rate.
Ooh.
That's who Christian McCaffrey is as a runner right now. Those aren't good numbers. And in McCaffrey's two regular season matchups with Seattle, 3.1 yards per carry in week one and 2.9 yards per carry in week 18 in the two previous matchups. We're looking at that line again, under 56.5 yards. The Seattle run defense, it's really good. Number three in run stuff win rate, number seven in PFF's run defense grade, number three in rushing yards allowed to running backs, and number one in yards per carry allowed. It's all uphill. McCaffrey's going to need, I think, really big volume to get to 57 yards, and I just don't think it's going to be there. When McCaffrey sees 20 or fewer carries, this is your key stat to take away from this. Again, the line is 56.5. When McCaffrey sees 20 or fewer carries, he has been under 57 yards 9 out of 10 times. McCaffrey would have to see 20 or more carries. His over-under on carries is 15.5. I don't think he's going to get to 20.
Good job, my man. What do you think of Tongas then in place of Kittle? He's in the low 30s.
Love this. So okay. This to me, this is, Paulie, this is Tongas every way you can attack it. I like it every way you can bet it, basically. Over 33.5 receiving yards, over 3.5 receptions. I would take the anytime touchdown. Plus 350 is one of the more broken lines of this weekend. So let's talk about Tongas. We've got a pretty big sample size of games in which Tongas was the full-time starter because Kittle missed 6 full games this year. And Tongas, we'll look at the data on those 6 games that Tongas started in place of Kittle. He averaged 5.5 receptions. Again, the line is 3.5. He averaged 45 yards. The line is 33.5. And he averaged half a touchdown per game. How good are 5.5 receptions, 45 yards, and half a touchdown per game? Well, you're basically getting George Kittle. Same number of receptions per game, same number of touchdown rate. Kittle would get more yards, about 20 more yards per game, but that's great. From a fantasy parlance, if Tongas had extracted those numbers out of a whole season, he would have been tight end 3 on the entire year. So this is, I mean, they basically just plugged Tongas into the George Kittle role. So you're getting a poor man's George Kittle at like one third or half of the kind of numbers that you'd normally have to pay for Kittle. Then there's Seattle defense. Now the Seattle defense is really good at pretty much everything, but they've got this weird Achilles heel for tight ends. They allowed the 5th most tight end receptions this year. They allowed the 6th most tight end yards this year. And when these teams played in week 18, Kittle was healthy, 5 catches. When these teams played in week 1, Kittle got hurt halfway through the game. Kittle and Tongas combined for 7 catches and 2 touchdowns. So again, Tongas averaging half a touchdown per game. His anytime touchdown is plus 350 for a guy who's averaging half a touchdown per full game. That seems like great value. So I like Tongas almost every way you can bet him here.
All right, good breakdown. Hall of Famer Paul Charchian, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line, Follow the Money. Paulie and Mitch Vesa, the Sports Betting Network. I love your 2 picks here in the Denver game. My buddy Ozzie reached out and says he loves R.J. Harvey over receiving. Yes. And the targets have been there. Is this a huge R.J. Harvey game for the Broncos?
I think it is. I like the running more than I like the receiving because they tend to use Tyler Bajan, who gets mixed into the passing some. They tend to use McLaughlin in the passing some. And that waters things down a little bit for me. But I like Harvey having potentially a really big game here. I want to talk about the over 49.5 rushing yards, the minus 130 anytime touchdown, and the plus 425 2 touchdown. And part of the reason Harvey is a full-time runner. And there's a scenario here where he hits the most rushing yards on the weekend, plus 850 for most rushing yards on the weekend. All right, let's talk it through. I'll try to be brief. This is really hard, though. There's so much good data. The Bills are a shockingly bad run defense. It's been their Achilles heel all year. In 4 of 5 Buffalo losses this year, a runner has gone over today's line of 49.5. That includes four straight times, and in many cases, way over. Devon Achane, 174 yards against the Bills. Bijan Robinson, 170 yards. He's not as good as those guys, RJ Harvey, but it's still a great trend here. And I mention this because this can't be lost on the Sean Payton staff. They know the surest way to beat the Bills is on the ground, keep Josh Allen on the bench. Last week, the Jaguars running backs against the Bills posted 8 yards per carry. You know, Liam Cohen made a huge blunder not running more. More Buffalo run defense futility stats for you. They rank 27th in yards allowed to opposing backs at 108 per game. We need less than half of 108 rushing yards per game at 49.5 for RJ Harvey. The Bills rank 21st in run defense stuff rate. The PFF ranks Buffalo 25th in run defense. And the Broncos finished the season with the fourth best run block win rate. So the line of scrimmage should be dominated by the Broncos here. You know, there's 8 teams remaining in the playoffs. Only 3 don't have a timeshare back. You know, it's James Cook, there's Christian McCaffrey, and there's RJ Harvey. Those are the only 3 guys that don't see timeshares. So I think there's a real path here for Harvey to get a bunch of work. It gets a bad run defense and end up with the most rushing yards on the weekend. He's got a chance of cashing that plus 850 most rushing yards as well. All the stats here seem very, very strong for RJ Harvey.
Dynamite analysis, as always. In my notes a little bit later on in the show, I was going to bring up Harvey plus 450 to score twice, McLaughlin plus 550 anytime, and he's 70-1 to score twice just in case something happened to Harvey in the game. Yeah. Okay, final one here that you like. Josh Allen has to throw the ball to somebody, down to like 3 receivers. Broncos can be had against, you know, in the defense against tight ends, but you want to go with a receiver. Which one?
I'm going Khalil Shakir, over 45.5 receiving yards. And you mentioned Josh Palmer's out, Tyrell Shaver's out, Gabe Davis is out. They're down to journeyman Brandon Cooks. Keon Coleman, who they has been a healthy scratch as recently as 3 weeks ago. And Curtis Samuel, they might try to get him back on the field. This passing offense is going to go largely through Khalil Shakir. And you might be tempted to think that Vance Joseph will have Patrick Surtain roll to the slot to cover Shakir because Shakir is by far the best receiver on the team. But the thing is, Surtain never plays the slot. He hasn't taken more than 9 snaps in the slot in over a year. So that means Shakir is not going to see Surtain in this game. And what they do, by the way, as a side note for the tight end talk that you just alluded to, when the opposing team doesn't have a go-to outside receiver, they put Surtain on tight ends. And you watch. They're going to put him on Dalton Kincaid.
Ooh.
Surtain's got that big body, 6 foot two, 200 pounds. You watch how often he's on Kincaid in this game. It's going to happen a lot. So this year, Denver allowed the 4th highest ratio of yards to slot receivers versus outside receivers. Again, in part because Patrick Surtain's on the outside. So people attack the slot against Denver. Their slot cornerback is Jaquan McMillan. In last year's meetings between these teams, McMillan covered Shakir a ton, targeted him 3 times, caught all 3. He's a pretty good cornerback, but over the last month, allowing an 80% catch rate. And when these teams met in the playoffs last year, Shakir, 6 catches, 61 yards. Those would both be over Shakir, over 45.5 yards.
I'll throw this at you. Sean Payton probably remembers this happening 10 or more years ago. When he played New England with the Saints, Jimmy Graham was in like tight end beast mode, right? During this time.
Yeah.
There was a game in the regular season where Bill Belichick put Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham and completely shut him down. Payton probably has that still in the back of his mind already. And he's like, okay, I can do the same thing here against the Bills this weekend.
That could be the case. Great memory on that. Fantastic.
You're the man, Charge. We'll see you this weekend. Okay.
See you Sunday.
Win lives up next. 2 quarterbacks undefeated when the point spread is in this range. Paulie has the details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, Harbaugh gets $20 million per year from the Giants. Gonzalez, good to go with the Pats. Fred Warner will not play for the Niners. After being listed as questionable, Darnold did tell a media member, nothing to see here. We'll show video coming up. Orlando just won and covered against Memphis. 118-111 in Berlin. They were getting pounded in that game. Harbaugh to the Giants, 16-1 on Christmas. Great call by the Moose.
The Moose.
Who asked for that and said it would happen. How many books offered it? And because he was still with the Ravens, and the Ravens had to miss the playoffs first and foremost. Kings, 3-1. Brunson got hurt early on. Knicks had nothing. And the Kings again win as a double-digit dog. Second game in a row. Western Carolina, plus 280. Ole Miss, 3-1. Davidson, plus 320. All on the money line. Favorites in hockey went 4-0. Good job, Jonathan Davis. He went 3-1 with his picks. Breaking news, what do you have on Metallica?
They have, it's a done deal. They're going to do between, I think, what did I tell you, 12 and 16 shows?
October
to December this year at the Sphere here in Vegas.
Oh, man. It's a bucket list item. Incredible.
That could, there's probably going to be some room on the front and back end of that to probably make, if they wanted to play out here for 3 years, they could, and sell out every single night. Oh, there you go. That's happening. We are going to go to that.
That's why the Eagles love that. They Henley and those guys live in Malibu, I believe. And Henley just comes in, gets a room down the street. They play Friday, Saturday, and then off he goes.
Okay.
He's in bed by Saturday night, whatever. Mm-hmm. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. Tammy, everyone's sending these in. Here's a Panda's getting startled here. Look at this. Ain't coming up. Season this year. Look at the look on the trainer. He's just like, what's your problem? Why are you so startled? I just come up. It's a collage and a compilation of Panda shenanigans and also being startled, like the first four, where the guy, I mean, you can clearly see me. Why are you freaking out when I just come up there? And they go through life like they're high, little gummies or a six-pack in them. They are incredible creatures. And how they survive, I have no idea. Absolute buffoonery. Good for them, though.
That's a bucket list to go and hang it with pandas for a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And just be rolling video nonstop.
Is he going to do what's he going to do here? Somersault or something? Yeah. I love the first three where the trainer comes up and he's all, where'd you come from? And he's sitting there the whole time. This is Boxer Baby Bumper Cars. I've never seen this before. How creative is this? Where the boxer mimics the baby and gets in the stroller and just uses his back hind legs to go around in little bumper cars with the baby. Incredible. Great footage. I'll put that up later. Dynamite. Lose some. We gave you the over last night. I didn't agree with the move. Jazz Bulls under 246 to 241. Number two and number three in pace, and Utah worst defense in the league went over. And the New York Rangers have allowed 22 goals in the last three games. 8 last night at home. Ottawa team total cash in the first period. Yeah. They lost 10-2 to the Bruins the other day as well.
Paul Mann, JD, all over that one yesterday.
Oh, wow. Bad beats. Drake, Southern Illinois under. Goes over in overtime. Virginia Tech money line, plus 280. SMU with a half-court buzzer beater to win it. Condolences if you had that one.
No, they weren't the only one. Kentucky at the buzzer last night. Had to have that one. Craziness in college hoops again last night.
Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. January isn't about volume, it's about precision. NFL playoffs are when limits rise, mistakes shrink, and timing matters more than ever. Powered by Advanced AI, his sources. Jeff's been doing this since 2011. The crew's phenomenal. They know everyone. Dialed in, locked in on the NFL playoffs. They help identify where the sharp money hits before the number disappears. Free reports, alerts, market moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the books. Mitch's excellent tease. Here they are. When Lane 3 points or more, Drake May is 11-0 straight up. And when Sam Darnold is a 6-point favorite or more, he's 13-0 straight up. Yeah. Thanks to Evan Abrams.
Well, for those just tuning in right now, again, the news that came down in the last 20 minutes, Sam Darnold is now questionable for the game. Oblique injury.
You got the video, Luke? He's just like me during a commercial break. He's got the Theragun on, and he's just, hanging out at the practice, and you're doing some work on the leg and the oblique, and seems to be okay, like he told the reporter. But this is certainly, I would say, bizarre.
Well, what's
you've been off for 14 days, and now he pops up on the injury report.
If he doesn't play, let's go to pretend world here for a second. What's the drop-off from Darnold to Drew Lock? I don't think we're going to get crazy here.
When's the last? Is that the last time he played, the Giant game?
Last year, yeah.
When he lit up the Colts and then finished the season?
Huh?
Oh, boy.
So he's had moments in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, does it...
Four?
I think the rock bottom would be four. And I don't even know if it goes to four.
He's a veteran, but he hasn't seen any time in a year. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that changes things, man, drastically, though. By the way, that was such a great job by... But Charch, with that angle on Patrick Surtain, is now going to take me off of, I think, the tight ends for Buffalo in this game. Because he said Surtain does not play in the slot. So he's not going to be on a guy like Brandon Cooks in this game. Instead, he's a big physical guy. And he will be on either Kincaid or Knox in that game. And that triggered a thought in my head. Sean Payton was also the coach in this game in 2013. And it was when the Saints were undefeated. They played the Patriots. This was October 13th of 2013. At the time, this was what Jimmy Graham did in the five games going into that game. 45 yards and a touchdown. 10 catches for 179 and a touchdown, 9 for 134 and two touchdowns, 4 for 102 touchdowns, 10 for 135. He was unstoppable. I remember this because I watched the game at the Westgate, and he was dominating fantasy teams, and it was incredible the start that he was off to.
The Patriots put Tlaib on him?
Bill Belichick made it a point.
Wow.
So he put Aqib Tlaib on Jimmy Graham in that game. They both eventually got hurt late in the third quarter, I believe it was. Jimmy Graham had zero targets, zero catches in the game. And now this fast forward now like 13 years, but maybe that's in his brain. Like I've always wanted to do that to a team with a physical cornerback and put them on like their best tight ends. And you would have to say that Kincaid along with Shakir is like the best option that he has to throw the ball to in this game. I don't know. So just something to maybe kick around on that because it was a great call by Charge on how that could actually take place. What other numbers do you have on Abrams? I got some awesome stuff on from Mackinnon coming up here in a little bit.
When you are a dog in the wild card round and win, and you're an underdog again, you're 3-22 straight up. That's fade Chicago. That's fade Buffalo. And that's fade San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton with rest. The bye 4-0 straight up. Average margin 14 points per game. McCaffrey has scored a touchdown 8 in a row in the playoffs. When you've won 10 in a row or more and you're an underdog, like Houston is, 0-4 straight up goes back to 2000. Not a lot of examples because it's strange, right?
Yeah.
You're on this kind of a losing streak, or winning streak rather, and you're still an underdog. Also, excellent numbers. Also, when you're playing your second road game, back-to-back road games in the playoffs, 33% ATS. That's right. Bills, Niners, Rams.
All right. Well, you mentioned this earlier in the week about how the Bills were favorites, you know, for at least a couple of days before it flipped a little bit here.
Right. 54 years since we had two home dogs in this round.
Right. So Sean Payton knows he was asked about being a dog in this game against Buffalo.
They said you like being first. In this case, you're just a second to being underdog as a one seed. Is that something to be?
Yeah, I can't control that. I don't. I mean, we don't pay attention to that, honestly.
I don't believe him.
No way. He knows all about it.
You have to.
Absolutely.
That can be a big thing for these guys, man.
Yeah.
Any edge that you can possibly find extra motivation.
Well, come on. Remember the Eagles. They had the dog masks out ready to go.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe they were one seeds even without Wentz, and they had to play Foles.
That's right. Yeah.
That they were underdogs, and mm-hmm. they won the damn Super Bowl.
Oh, killed, but they used the Vikings,
that. Yeah. Were they dogs in that game, too? In any event, they used that as fire and motivation and fuel all the way to the Super Bowl run.
Sure. I don't know why he's holding his tongue on that. Come on, Sean, you have to.
Well, so 9 times this year, Denver scored 21 points or fewer. 9, think about that.
Sounds about right.
But they're 14-3 straight up. That shows how good the defense is and the number one sack differential.
Well, okay.
So do you get pressure on Allen? How many points do the Bills score? But certainly you know it. And we all watch the same game, that they have had some awful performances and stinkers on offense, especially Knicks.
How many points do the Broncos need to score to win this game? If they score 21 or fewer, are they winning?
I was going to say 24. Boy, I think 21 can hold up, but Allen's Superman.
I think if they...
But 21 could hold up, yes.
I think if they score 21 or fewer, they're dead.
Yeah, okay.
Their season's over.
Yeah.
I think in your brain, you have to think we need to put up at minimum 24, 27 to beat this guy.
Also, are those drives taking a long time, though, too? Do they have an 8-minute, 9-minute touchdown drive?
Yep. More divisional round trends coming up. Eye-popping numbers with one seeds in this round. We're going to run them down for you coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.